Where do you go from there? It is, while I'm talking, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. It is always amazing to watch kids. I don't care how old they are, how young they are. Just some things that you think that some of these kids were animated this morning? You should have seen them last night. And then there was one little boy today who showed up. Yesterday I thought he was hiding behind the trees, or was he sitting down? Hal sang this morning, and when he started singing, I could hear him. And then we have Dancing Queen over here. I think I want to be her agent. She is, but all those kids did a great job, and I want to thank Ken and Christina and for getting that together, especially Christina and all the parents who spend time hauling the kids back and forth, and they did a good job, and found out that more of them can sing than I thought, and so we'll probably try to use them more often. And so, anyway, Isaiah chapter 9, stand with me as I read. Beginning in verse 1, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Let's skip down to verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a child is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, how it speaks to us. And Lord, we pray today, as you have been here all through this service, that you will continue to be in our midst. We thank you that your word says that you dwell in the praise of your people. So, Father, we welcome you here today. Do in our lives exactly what needs to be done. And we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace. Rick told me this morning that I was going to have to start paying him a royalty, because he did a great study on peace on Wednesday night. And actually, it was joy and peace. But the Advent candles have been lit, except for the center one. We have hope and love and joy and peace. And on Christmas Eve, we light the center candle, which is the Christ candle. But without that Christ candle, there can be no hope. And there can be no love, and there can be no joy, and there can be no peace. Everything about Christmas, everything about life, flows out of Christ. Everything that we do and everything we are flows out of our relationship with Christ. And so I want to talk about peace this morning. Isaiah calls the Messiah Sar Shalom, which is the Prince of Peace. If I were to ask you this morning, what is your definition of peace? What would you say? We'd probably get a lot of different ideas or answers. It's quite a word. We talk about peace a lot, but what does it mean to us? Did it mean the same thing to the shepherds? In Luke chapter 2, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I think the shepherds knew exactly what the angel was talking about when he talked about peace. Sometimes when we think about peace, we think about the absence of conflict. And that's pretty much how we narrow it down. It's just like we hear, "Pray for peace in the Middle East." I just do an aside here. There will be no peace in the Middle East till Jesus comes. That's what that situation is about. I love this dictionary. Again, Rick and Joyce bought this for me a long time, and I think it's the most up-to-date dictionary, even though it was written in 1828. Defines peace as a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. But the Hebrew word conveys much more than that. The Hebrew word is shalom. It can be used to say both hello and goodbye. It was used to convey feelings, intent, and emotion. It was also meant to convey contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, harmony, tranquility, prosperity, and fullness. All those things wrapped up into one word. I guess if we sum that up, the word shalom can be defined as a sense of well-being, a complete sense of well-being. And the Hebrew word for peace finds its meaning in our relationship with God. That is the only place from which peace can flow, is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about. By the way, yay church. Can I say that in the middle of the sermon? Yay church. You did a great job. Take a look. We adopted 5 families this year, and I was going to tell you, you know, originally, thanks, I'm glad you brought all these gifts for me. I don't know how I'm going to use them all, but I am grateful for a church who cares enough about those who may not have anything to go and take care of those children. And they'll be delivered, and Christmas will be a little bit different because of your response in Christian love. There is one way to find peace, and that's through the relationship with Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's a familiar verse to all of us, isn't it? But there's some things we need to know about that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was eternal. The word not only refers to the person, but the word tells us that Jesus was the Logos of God, the Word of God. He was the spoken Word of God. He was the revelation of God. He was everything that God is. Instead of saying was, I should have been saying is. Jesus is everything that God is. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh." Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glories of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we read this: He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. When you see Jesus, you see God. And that's one of the things that is an absolute of our faith. Who Jesus is. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just some guy who came and lived for a while. He is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. Peace can only come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me just turn over here to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this. I know I'm going to get there. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have a complete sense of well-being with God. We are in harmony with God. We are whole in God. All of those things that the word shalom means become true of us in our relationship with God. You know, we don't have to be frazzled. We don't have to be running here and there and everywhere when something happens. We can run to God because not only that, but we have God living in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have his peace. And I'm not sure how anybody gets through difficult times without that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, without having that peace that passes understanding. You know the story of Jesus and his disciples in the boat, don't you? Going across the Sea of Galilee. Now, many of the disciples were fishermen. And up jumped a storm, and the winds were blowing, and the waves were rolling. And the disciples, Even the fishermen became afraid. Maybe they forgot that Jesus was in the back of the boat. And they said, Lord, don't you care enough about us? And what did he say? You know, I've heard people say, well, he yelled it out, peace, be still. But he didn't. Jesus calmly said, peace, be still. And the storm obeyed. Why? Because he's God. And we need that relationship with God, just as the disciples needed that relationship with God. Back to Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see where peace comes? Peace comes from, we receive peace. You can't pursue peace because you'll never find it. Sometimes we think we can pursue happiness and love and peace, but you can't. We try to fill that hole that is in all of us with a number of things. People try to fill it with drugs or alcohol or money or success, or they try to fill that hole with everything, but when they try to fill it with anything but Jesus, it leaves them empty. Only Jesus can fill that hole. Only Jesus can produce hope in us and love in us and joy in us and his peace in us. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. Look at verses 8 through 10 of Romans chapter 5. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, if you do anything in your Bible, you write things down, you circle things, you underline, you need to underline that phrase or circle that phrase. For if while we were what? Enemies. There is nothing in us naturally that would cause us to seek God. Absolutely nothing. We don't care about God. It is the Holy Spirit who wakes us up. It is the Holy Spirit who makes us aware that we are sinners. It is the Holy Spirit who draws us to God that we might be saved. We were enemies. Listen, anybody ever thought they had an enemy? Come on, be honest with me here. Has anybody thought you've ever had an enemy, or did you treat anybody as an enemy? Now, if you're not going to be honest, I will. All right, because I've not always so much anymore, but I think there are people who are my enemy, people who do wish ill for me, people who don't care, people who treat either me or my family or somebody I care about in a way that they shouldn't, and so you begin to categorize them and move them away. But you know, while we were God's enemies, what did he do? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. While we were enemies of God, while we didn't care at all about him, while we never even thought about him, he loved us enough to send his Son to die in our place on a cross, to shed his blood to cover our sin, not just to cover it, but to wash it away, to go to the grave and then rise 3 days later to give us victory over sin and death and the grave. He ascended into heaven, and someday he's coming back again. And I'm not sure about you, but the more I look around us, the more I'm thinking, please come. Our world's a mess. And our world's a mess because we've pushed Jesus into the corner. And Christians, we can't really say much about that because we've let them do that. Listen to Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace comes from Christ. peace comes from God. It's not something we can conjure up. It's something that is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What's next? Peace. Love from God flows to joy, joy to peace. And you can find that chain all the way down the fruit of the Spirit. All of those are produced by the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit produces that peace in us, the peace that passes understanding, the peace that gets us through times when it just doesn't look like we're going to make it. It's God's peace through the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. One of God's names, and there are literally hundreds of the names of God in the Scripture, but one of them is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. Let me read to you from, from Judges chapter 6. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. Let me just give you a little side lesson here. Whenever you see in the Old Testament the phrase, the angel of the Lord, that is a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus. An angel of the Lord and the angel of the Lord are two different things. What Gideon was seeing here was a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Son of God who came to speak to him. This is not just an ordinary angel, this is Jesus. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, "For now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." The Lord is peace. He is our peace. You and I can't find peace in any other place than in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we try, we're just setting ourselves up for extreme disappointment. True peace comes only from God. I read this week, I don't even know who said it, that the peace of God is the highest form of inward satisfaction that is reflected upon the outward person. Let me read that again. The peace of God is the highest form of inward satisfaction that is reflected upon the outward person. How do you think we ought to live our lives? We need to live our lives from the inside out. People need to see us going through difficult circumstances, living in the peace of God. People need to see our Lord through us. We are a reflection of Him. We are not the light. He is the light, but we ought to be a reflection of that light. We need to live our lives from the inside out. And you know, and I know, and everybody knows that who we are on the inside will sooner or later manifest itself on the outside. Sometimes my mouth gets me in trouble. Is that right, Diane? She's nodding. I heard somebody one time go into a tirade using all sorts of words. Some we find acceptable, some we don't find too much success acceptable. And as soon as they were finished, I think they were embarrassed and they said, "You know, I don't know how I said that. That's not who I am." Well, guess what? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your speech reveals who you are and whose you are. I think we don't experience the peace of God because we really don't trust God. What do you think? We're trusting everything else, but I don't think we trust God. Listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You all know this. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Well, I'm just going to read it the way we live it. Does that make sense? Let me read it the way it was written. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Maybe we don't experience the peace of God because we are not trusting Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, when I do that, I get myself in trouble. I'm thinking I need to do that and this and everything else when really I need to stop and wait for God. and He will make your path straight. He will guide you. He will counsel you. He will let you know His plans for your life. Isn't that what He's called in Isaiah? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So let me ask you a very simple question. What is it that keeps us from experiencing the shalom or the peace of God? What do you think? Let me tell you. It's sin. Sin is what keeps us from experiencing the peace of God. Sin is the transgression of the law. You remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said to Him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know all the prophets and all that stuff. Go live those things and it'll be okay." And what did the rich young man say? "Hey, I've done all that stuff. Well, I can't even get past the big 10. There were between 10 and 613 do's and don'ts in the Old Testament. Think of that. Between 10 and 613. And every time the Pharisees thought of something else, they just threw that into. How many of us could keep any of those things, let alone 613? I believe we find in there, we make God first, don't we? Isn't that part of the Big Ten? That He has to be first? Is He? So we fail right away. Then how can we be made righteous? How can we be forgiven our transgressions? How can we be forgiven of our sin? And here it is, through the blood atonement. We don't talk about the blood very much, do we? In the Old Testament sacrificial system, the blood of the lamb covered the sin for how long? Short time. On the Day of Atonement, it covered this people's sins for 1 year. I'll tell you what, I don't know if I can make it through one day without sin. That's why I'm grateful for Jesus who came and lived His life and shed His blood for me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says this, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." What's that say? Without the shedding of blood, the life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus had to come. Jesus had to be nailed to the cross. Jesus had to shed His blood so that you and I could be completely forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Not just to keep us safe for a while, not just to give us forgiveness for a day or two, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we trust Christ by faith, when we are saved by grace, when He becomes our personal Savior, when we start that personal relationship with Him, it is because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." The payment for our sin was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The only way we can experience the peace or the shalom of God is through the sacrifice of Jesus. I'm going to run through some verses that you know very well. But I think every once in a while we need to hear them. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." 24, "And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in him. What's it said? All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means each one of us, every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the great thing is, Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. It says we are redeemed how? By his blood. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. A lot of stuff here, right? And I'm sure people are buying gifts for you this Christmas. Some of us already know what our gifts are, but that's not the point. We take one of these gifts. This has Catherine's name on it. Actually, it doesn't. But I come to Catherine and offer her a gift. What's her response? She can take it, right? Or she can refuse it. She's going to take it. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gift he offers. That's why he came to seek and to save. And he offers us that gift of eternal life. And you and I have a choice. We can, I'm taking it back, we can either receive the gift or we can refuse it. We are saved by grace through faith. Is that not right? He gives us the faith to believe. He saves us by his grace. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I'll start with verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Let me just, I've got to narrow it down. We are saved through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. God gives us that grace. We are saved because we believe who he is. We are saved because we believe that he's the Messiah of God. We're saved because we believe that he shed his blood for us. We are saved when we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do y'all believe that? A whole lot of folks running around telling us how we get to God, how we get to heaven. If we want them to listen to us, we need to be ready to listen to them. Let me tell you this morning. You don't debate somebody to Jesus. You can't debate and argue somebody to the cross. What you can do is begin to tell people about Jesus and then let God do what he does. We sow the seed. Someone comes along behind us and waters the seed, but God is the one who saves. God is the one who gives the increase. We speak his name. We tell people about his love. We tell people what he did, why he came, and what he wants to do in our lives. We tell people that you can know him and have the promise and the hope of eternity forever through a personal relationship with him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. Is that narrow? Are those parameters just a little bit narrow? No one comes to the Father except how? Through me. That's what Jesus says. You know, we just read a little while ago in the in chapter 1 of John, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was God, wasn't he? Over 60 times in the Gospel of John alone, Jesus tells people and is recognized that he is God come in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. And so if Jesus is God, He makes the rules. He sets the parameters. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who's the way? He is. No one, you, me, not anyone, comes to the Father except through me. Narrow? Absolutely. Truthful? You bet. We come to Christ. We come to God through Christ. There is no other way. And the only hope of eternity, the only hope of eternity is through Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let me read that one more time. But all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let me tell you this. We are saved not by who we are, not by what we do, and not by what we think. We are saved not by our will, but His. It is the will of God to seek and to save those who are lost. And I can tell you today, and you know, that the only way we get through the stuff, the only way we get through life and all its pain and all its suffering and all its joy and all its happiness, the only way you and I can get through life is through Jesus Christ and the peace, the shalom of God. Regardless of what life brings, we can persevere because of His peace. Do you believe that? We can. We can do it together. We can do it alone because we have the promise of the Holy Spirit in us who produces His fruit in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all the other things. That comes because of a relationship with Christ. Outside of that relationship, there is no hope. There is no joy. There is no peace. There is no patience. But peace can only be found in a relationship with God. Let me ask you very, and this is a question only you can answer. Are you experiencing the shalom of God? Are you experiencing the peace of God? And if you're not, I know where you can find it. I know where you can find it. That peace is found only in Jesus Christ. And I never think that I'm talking in a room where somebody doesn't need to hear that message, where somebody doesn't need to understand who Jesus is and what He's done for us, where somebody doesn't need to understand that He is the Savior. And we need Him. This Christmas, it's not about the stuff. It's about the Savior. It's not about the singing. It's about the Savior. Everything we do at this time of the year and everything we do every day. You know, I think sometimes we ought to celebrate Christmas and Easter every single Sunday. He's come. He's made the sacrifice. And then someday, He's coming again. That's why we have communion, by the way. We celebrate what He's done, what He is doing, and we look forward to His coming. So how about you? A lot of depression out there this year, this time of the year. A lot of sadness. A lot of brokenness. I said this last week, that the week between Christmas and New Year, statistically, has the highest rate of suicide of the whole year. Why is that? Peace. There is no peace because there is no relationship with the One who came to give us His peace. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are that You sent Your Son, that He was willing to come and to give His life for us so that we might experience salvation through Him, so that we might have the assurance of eternal life, the assurance of hope and joy and peace and patience and all of those things, and help us to realize that those things flow out of a relationship with You. Calm our hearts. Encourage us, strengthen us. Cause us to love You more. And grace us with Your peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.